Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and tonight I have with me Bunny Brown. Hello, Bunny.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Is Bonnie going to join us?
No, she had to go to bed early because she's got to be at work early.
Okay. Well, it's good to have you back with us. You did a show with me several times on orbs and different entities that were out there. But tonight we're going to talk about the difference between the eras of our parents and how today's world is. This is kind of a last minute. We just talked about this 10 minutes ago. And I was going to talk about truth. We can tie that in a little bit, too, but it's good to have you here, girl. I hadn't talked to you in so long.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yeah, BBS has missed you.
Well, I've just been very, very busy.
Yes, and you've been down in the weather as well.
Yes.
So, first of all, before we even get started, I'd like to ask all the listening audience, the universe, the World Wide Web, and all that are out there to give send out prayer to Bunny and her side, and give good hopes and feelings for the test that she's going through tomorrow, and also for my hip and my knee that are going to have to be replaced, that I won't have to have that done, and we both will be praying for you as well, and anybody that has prayer requests, just call in at the BBS radio station. We'll just be taking prayer requests tonight as well. And that number is 877-876-5227. That's USA only. And the USA and Canada number is 888-815-9756. The direct line is 530-876-3222. Now, Bunny, when we were raised, we didn't have one iota in the whole wide world. We didn't have to worry about anything except for being proper.
That's right.
And our parents, they had hardships, you know, except for, you know, my father had it harder than my mother because they did farming and they did furniture, but they, you know, later on became stronger with finances. My mother, you remember, had like, 14 brothers and sisters. She had two separate families. She had one from the repression or depression, and then they had the second set of the family children that were very wealthy. And then your mother was my mother's best friend, so we have been best friends since before birth, you and your twin sister.
Yes, we have.
And so, what is your outlook on the way that, and then, you know, let me give a little more history. My son is your daughter's child's godfather when he gets to be around, and the generations just continue on in our family. So what would you say, if you would just be able to put in a few words so that we can run from there, how the world has changed to where even our children today, it's mostly going to be our grandchildren that are going to be hit hard with this world and the economy and the way the world is run compared to the way our parents had it to where even where we didn't even have one iota.
Well, I think back when our parents, when we were coming up, the world was a gentler place. I think most women stayed at home. And most men worked, and things were just quieter. I think people had a lot more manners. We could go outside in the afternoon and play and not have that threat or worry that somebody was going to grab us or get us. I think things were a lot more proper. For instance, I mean, one small example is, like, I always called your mother Ms. Hill. And you always call my mother Miss Darty. But our children, my children call you Kathy, and your children call me Bunny.
Right.
I think things, I mean, that's great and fine, but things have changed. But it's almost like along with that, a lot of things are starting to slip. I think people are a lot more disrespectful now. I think people do better when they know their place and they know their safety net. And now there just really isn't that safety net out there for most kids. And I think it's a scary place. I have two grandchildren, and I know my granddaughter does play outside, but the mothers there all stay at home, and they sort of all keep an eye out. But, you know, I wonder what's going to happen when my grandson gets up and he's able to play out. And, you know, when we played, there was no threat. Kathy had horses. And she would always ride. Yep, Kathy would ride her horses. I rode bikes. We roller skated. We went all over the neighborhood. Went to the neighborhood next to ours. And that threat just wasn't there, but now it is. And it's.
There wasn't the threat there for our children either.
No. Our kids could play out too. They could play kick the can.
And they could go to the movies and be dropped off.
Yep.
And there wasn't those gangs and groups.
Yeah, it's just,
the drive-in theater was there.
Yeah, with the whole family.
We could hang out at the mall. We didn't have a mall. We didn't have malls. That was one thing. We had Cotswold.
Yeah, we had strip malls.
Yeah, we had strip malls. I believe that the malls became, you know, everything, the real estate getting so much bigger and the housing getting so much faster. The neighborhoods were so big back then with our neighbors were so far apart. That's one thing. And the value of a dollar was big, and your handshake was mighty. Just a handshake was a powerful thing.
Yeah.
Your credit, remember the credit, how Daddy said your credit is your name. And that took me so long to wonder what that meant and how we tried to figure that out when he said that. When I went down the aisle with that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun music, I said, Daddy said your credit is your name. And we didn't figure that out, or I didn't figure that out until later on, that he meant my word of mouth and my handshake and everything
And that was it. You know, about years ago, a gentleman's handshake was worth a contract. Joyce and I were talking about that. And when a man would shake hands with another man, that was like a signed contract, and it was just because of their character.
Right. Daddy said put one hand on the shoulder and move the hand into the person and then back towards you and then up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not today. They need lawyers and people draw up contracts.
They're always thinking they're after something.
Yeah. Protecting, you know, having to protect. And that's scary.
It is scary. And it all, you know, Bunny, how I am, I just sit and mind my own self and mind my own business and mind my own duties and stay within the moment. I believe I've grown so much in the past several years. It's like I had to go all the way down and come all the way back up. If people would just learn to wake up within themselves and mind their own business instead of letting so many people rent space in their head, then the world would be a different place. You know, instead of minding what the Joneses are doing or minding what other people are doing. Because we didn't used to do that because it wasn't polite. People used to knock on people's doors before they came in and stuff like that. And now it's like just coming in and just, it's respect. The respect is gone out of each other.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't respect themselves. I'm not saying everybody's like that in the world, but I'm just saying the respect has gone from people. You know?
It has. And the kids are, I mean, I know teenagers are going to be teenagers, but I think, you know, sometimes now they can be very disrespectful. But their parents can be very nice. And, you know, it's not like that the parents have not taught and trained them right. It's just like they're picking this really ugly way about them out there somewhere else. And back when we were growing up, that just did not happen.
It wasn't kosher.
No, it was yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
That word. It wasn't kosher. And they would,
now,
we would get a backhand, you know, if we talked back. And when they took away, well, my dad would backhand me. I don't know about other people, but he would just, he would backhand me if I talked back. So I learned not to talk back. It was disrespectful. And don't dispute my word. He'd say, don't you dispute my word. And that was just the end of it. I think I got backhand one time, and that was enough for me. Yeah, that was just something that you just didn't do. It was called respect. And another thing is that we went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Sunday night.
We went every Sunday night, and a lot of Wednesday nights.
Yeah. It was fun, too.
Yeah, Dad was.
And I did TAs and my brothers did RAs. But, you know, I'm not saying that people that it's not about church. It's not about all that. It's about morals. Morals. Where are the morals today?
Yeah, it's like there's just sort of a mixing and merging, and a lot of children are really confused. You know, you can do a great job with them, and they start kindergarten, and they're exposed to all kinds of different things. And then they come home and, you know, start saying, well, what does this mean, and what does that mean? And, you know, it's, you just feel so flabbergasted. And so I know my youngest daughter did it, and it just, I was like, you know, I tried so hard to protect her, and there is no protection. And it's
no,
like whatever goes. If it feels good, do it.
You know, I remember when a lot of the problem was peer pressure, what people, the children and the people in the society today wanted to go along with what others were thinking and feeling. And identity, people have lost their identity. They're wanting to do what the other person's doing and saying. And they don't have their own identity of what they feel and say and think and where they're getting their sources from. You know, and their inner self, of, you know, their inner being. They're wanting to go along with the other person or the Joneses or whatever, you know. It's just like, If things are going good and great, they'll take the credit for it. But as soon as it just shuts down and goes bad, then they're ready to point the finger at, they did it, they did it, they did it, I got it from them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's hard today for discipline. Discipline is a different thing compared to what we were raised with and what our parents were raised with.
Well, things were really proper with our mothers.
Yes, and very proper with us, too. I mean, we had to go to those schools and stuff.
Yep, very, very proper. You sat down, and, I mean, we would sit down as a family, and the table was set, always set very nicely. And
the forks and spoons and napkins had to be folded just right.
Right, mm-hmm.
Everything had to be laid on the table exact.
Yep.
3 square meals a day, our snacks were at a certain time, our piano playing lessons were done at the proper time, we studied a certain precise time.
And I mean, I hate to admit
it. And our parents sat down with us and did our lessons with us.
Yeah. I ate dinner tonight in here. And Casey and Matt went up to McDonald's and my husband ate when he got home. That's not the way I was raised.
Everybody fends for themselves today, huh?
Well, I did fix it, but it was, yeah. You go fix it yourself. Now, granted, I'm not feeling well. And I did sit down when the kids were little at the table, but, you know, with band and school and work and everything else and
schedule.
Yeah,
we all had our chores, man.
Yeah.
We all had our chores, and we had a chart. We had to, and we got a gold star for our chart. All the way up to Florida, got married, man.
Well, I never had chores.
That's why I always came over to your house.
Mom was such a perfectionist that she didn't want anybody else doing it, so she would just do it herself so it would be just exactly particularly right.
Is that where my mother got it from? My mother was a perfectionist. My mother was a perfectionist because she raised the brothers and sisters that. She had to be a perfectionist because she had to have everything in order or she'd get in trouble. But then she had five kids, too, and she had to have it in order, too. Or, you know, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I had five.
Yeah.
Lots of work.
You do have five.
Yes. And two grandchildren.
Gosh, that's
babies.
A big family.
Huh?
I tell you what.
Two grandbabies.
It's like our Rose Club. We're all uniquely different, but we're all so much the same.
There's always that common denominator. You always will find a common denominator with a friend, and that's the root to grow your friendship with.
Yeah.
People, I think, find somebody along the way that has something in common with them.
Uh-huh.
And that's the beginning and the basis of a friendship.
Yeah, and then the others are acquaintances, like ball-filled people or, you know, teen moms or something like that is just an acquaintance. But
yep.
The root that we have of our friendship with what, going back from first grade, there must be 20 of us. I don't know.
Yeah.
And there are so many of us in our real life here. And I've been in a 5-mile radius all my life, you know, growing up, that being, I'm just one of the lucky ones. I think that's one of the things that I'm so fortunate to fall back on is that I have my roots. We have our roots being here in Charlotte.
Yes. And most of our friends are still here. There are a few that are out of town. But they come back.
Yeah.
They do come back.
That's one good thing about, you know, I'm just very fortunate to say that I've got my roots and don't have to say that I've been moved here, there, and everywhere. Even though Mady, one of the Woods Club members, she's been moved all over the place with her husband, you know, being in the position that he's in, but she just falls right back in with us.
Yeah, but
she was raised real proper. Her mother was in the Olympics for speed skating.
Yeah, the good thing, though, with Mady is Mady didn't have children, so it was easier for her to pick up and move.
Yeah, she's the godmother of my children.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, she goes through them. But I tell you, if the world would just look at through the little children's eyes. Did I tell you Skylar, my little niece, that's 2.5 years old, she's never heard about my dad being called Pawpaw. She was playing in the back seat the other day, and she was just laughing and giggling and cutting up, and her dad, Paul, said, "What are you laughing at?" And she says, "I'm playing with Pawpaw."
Wow.
And he said, "What? We've never talked about Pawpaw before." And he said, "Where is Pawpaw?" He said. He says, "Right here." She was playing with my dad.
Wow.
And then the next day, Natalie found out she's pregnant.
Is she?
Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Mama called me today and asked me to interpret a dream. And that was pretty neat. It was she was in a snowstorm with my dad, and there was snow everywhere. And then in front, and she kept saying, "Slow down, Walton. Slow down. Slow down. You're gonna hydroplaned in the big black van in front of her, hydroplaned, and she was the passenger, and then the car they were in veered off to the left to miss the black van.
Wow.
Yeah. She says, why do I dream about my husband all the time? And I said, because you don't want to see him in person and feel him in your walking life, so you dream about him because you know it's safe there.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. So, tell me about Edward. Does he come, your son come to you very often anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Amy and I are both having, my daughter, Amy, that, she called me the other morning, and she had had a dream that she walked into this, big room, and Edward was walking towards her. And she got real excited, and he passed her, and there were two people with her, and she was going, Edward, Edward, Edward. And she said, why won't he turn around? And the two people that were with her said, because he's not in this on this earth anymore. He's in heaven. He doesn't remember earth.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to turn that on. My computer came on. It's on a timer. Well, I was going to ask you as well, is Edward still writing figures in the camera for you?
Well, I haven't been back out there since Mother's Day. I need to go. I do need to go.
Uh-huh.
I was going to go for my birthday, but it was pouring down rain. And, I went out on his birthday, but it was during the day. And then a bunch of his friends went that night, but I was real sick, so I wasn't able to go. But January's coming up. And the holidays.
Uh-huh. Trying to get some great orbs and some great letters from Edward. Her son passed away. You want to tell him about that?
Yeah, right after he passed away, I started getting letters that were showing up in pictures. And I'm just not an easy sell, so I just took the pictures and went to the different. I went to a drugstore, and then I went to Walmart, and then I went to... actually, I had a man look at it that had training with National Geographic, and he said, ma'am, I'm going to be really honest. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And the letters are all, like, his name was Edward. We got, the very first one we got was an E, cursive E, uppercase, and, no, lowercase, I'm sorry, and a lowercase A. His girlfriend's name was Amber. And then I started getting cursive, uppercase, and it looked just like his writing. And I've gotten like an E and an S together. I've gotten an A with an E in it. I've gotten our initials together, mine and Edward's, E and a B. The most fascinating thing that I think I've gotten was on my granddaughter's birthday. I went out with one of Edward's really good friends who had never been out there before, and I was sort of showing her. I said nothing was happening that night. I mean, some nights it just doesn't. And so, you know, I was messing with the camera, and I said, this is what it looks like, you know, when you're not going to get anything, and this is what it sort of looks like. You'll see shifting of light back and forth. Normally it'll just be like a white circle, you know, it's a light, and there it is, and that's what you're going to get. But if you're going to get the letters, it starts to move, and it turns green. And so we were just sitting there talking, and she picked her camera up off the front of the car and looked up and started screaming, "Is this it?" And I looked through her camera. I said, "That's it." We both jumped down, and I got a perfect, perfect cherub. She had long hair.
That's the one that I saw?
Yeah.
God,
long hair. She's
so
flying. Got an angel wing. You can see her down. You can see her feet. I mean, it is.
It's
like,
on the BBS Radio archive page, listeners. If you want to go to archives, if you want to go to Bright Lights Pathfinders archives, you can see that picture that I'm talking that she's talking about, because she was on the show talking about the orbs. And just scroll down to when you see the cherub. And it tells about Bunny Brown and her photograph.
Yeah, I get letters more than orbs.
But
I never get orbs and letters together, which I don't understand that. I've never gotten a picture yet where there were the two of them together, ever. And I don't know why. But I do get the letters, and like I said, I got hearts. I got numbers, 5. I have 5 children. I got 5, and usually it's a repeating pattern. You'll see 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5.
Well, we were talking one day. Let's go back a minute. We were talking about what orbs were and what orbs were not, which are energy.
Yes,
right?
They are energy.
Mm-hmm. And we're made up of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we project energy.
Yes.
And remember that night that we were out at the cemetery, and I said, "There's energy all over me." I said, "Here comes the energy." And then all of a sudden, those orbs were appearing everywhere. And do you remember?
They do all the time.
Right. And do you remember we started reading up on what orbs were and what orbs weren't, and we did that test. Tell about that test that we did to the camera.
Yeah, Kathy and I went out because, you know, you hear dust or dew or whatever. And so Kathy and I took her camera, which is much nicer than mine. And we literally threw water. And we were shaking dust off of a rug and photographing it just to see the difference.
And we took a spray bottle of water, too.
And sprayed it, yeah. Just and the orbs that I've gotten do not look anything. I've seen those on, if you know, Google orb, and you pick up some of the orb pictures that people have taken. I mean, some of that absolutely is water, and some of it absolutely is dust. One thing I will have to say about an orb, it's a single orb, and it has light that from within. It's not light around, but light from within.
We took my camera that has an automatic that goes ching, 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 you know, an automatic button that pushes, and it moved, and it spun. Remember, you could see it spinning. Almost looks like one of those things that goes over the top of a barn.
Yeah. But I do believe that. Scientists are now saying that orbs are energy, but they're not sure they're human energy.
Right.
They may be a collection of, you know, just energy in the atmosphere. There's no way to prove that it's human energy. Which,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up off the chair. Like one of those things that goes over the top of a barn. God, what does this computer keep coming on for? But, I'm sorry. I got up off the chair. My hips are killing me.
Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. Bunny, can you continue talking about the orbs while I go and turn off that computer? Because I don't know why it keeps coming on.
Okay. Let's see, orbs. The orbs that I've gotten that I think are unusual is I got a hot pink one, an orange one, a green one. I've gotten a red one, and a blue one. And I've gotten lots of white ones. And I've got lots of white ones with tails on them. It's just, you know, one of those things you can go and take pictures one night and pick up a lot and then go back the next night and not get any. But I have found that if there's electrical storm around, I do tend to pick up more orbs, not the alphabet letters. But like I said, I've never gotten a picture yet where I pick up both, which I don't quite understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I get either like a picture of something like the hearts or the fives or the angels or something. I never get the combination of those.
Do you remember that picture I took in my house? And it looked like Elvis Presley, but it didn't.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looked like, and it was right after my dad died.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a perfect angelic ghost figure.
Uh-huh.
I've never gotten one of those again either.
Yeah, it's like you get it and it's almost a fluke.
Yeah.
If you pick it up.
And then those that I took at the beach that looked like a triangular shaped white thing that just started in the sky and flew down onto the beach.
It almost looked like a shield.
Yeah.
Now, I have gotten something like that. A shield.
Uh-huh.
They call it a shield orb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cleaned the camera and cleaned the camera. I thought there was something in the camera because I could see it in through the camera.
You can absolutely, if you're getting ready to get an orb, or yes, you absolutely can see it through the camera.
Yeah.
But if you take the camera away from your eyes, you cannot see it. But the best thing is to turn the flash off.
Yeah. Because you don't want to get anything in it.
Yeah, don't disperse any light.
Did you see any of those pictures? I think I sent them to you of that big tree at my brother's house.
Yeah.
I sent it to you on my MySpace page.
Uh-huh.
Did you see that? There was three different orbs in there. And then
yeah,
my mother saw it too, and she saw the figure come out.
It was green.
And then there was a little red, and then
yep.
It was blue, and then it flashed down and became a figure.
Yep.
My mother said, "Look at that," and I said, "I know." And he was just talking about that it was a Native American reservation. He said that people came from near and far to pick up the arrowheads around that tree. And he was telling that story, and he was pointing at it. And I took a picture of his hand pointing at the tree, and he said it was a shaman tree or something like that. And I just started snapping. And when I put the pictures in the, you know, even through the viewfinder, we could see it. And I thought, okay, everybody's going to think I'm nuts here. But my mother saw it, and everybody saw it, and just were like in awe over it. So it
was that
really
at Johnny's
cool.
house?
Yeah, that's at Johnny's. He's got like 100 acres on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And that tree is just out in the middle of one of his pastures.
That was really neat. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did see that. That was good, because they say that the green and the blue orbs, I think the green for sure, represent nature.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How nice. The call-in numbers are 877-876-5227, if anybody would like to call in.
Well, Kathy, I'm going to let you do the truth.
Okay.
I'm going to hop off so you can do that because I thought that was very, very good.
Talk about the truth?
Yes.
Okay.
You still have a half an hour, but give me a call when you get off.
Okay, Dawn.
All right. Love
you,
too.
Love you, girl.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. And the USA and Canada is 888-815-9756. The direct line is 530-876-3222. And what I was going to discuss tonight before we got Funny on at the last minute is words are like the engine that pulls the train of thought. And I was going to say, who are you? What is your truth? What are you to yourself? And what are you trying to get at? And where'd you learn what you learned? Are you self-taught? What's your inner being? Did you get it from meditation? Are you God-centered? Is it hearsay of what others say? Or exactly what are you trying to get at with your truth? Because a lot of people try to identity steal. A lot of people use plagiarisms. And a lot of people just move words around and take it as their own credit. People need to give credit where credit's due. A lot of people hide behind other people's work, and they don't use their own work. You know? I want to talk about truth just a little bit, okay? So, you can go to my page, because that's what I was going to talk about. Just scroll down to Thursday, by Life Pathfinders at 6 o'clock, Kathy Cook, and click on that. I'll wait just a minute while you all do that. We're going to talk a little bit about truth. Okay, here we are. I'm going to scroll on down. I want to tell you a little bit about the knowing. I'm a little bit like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I've told you all that before. Because of the masterhoods I've accomplished. And if you talk to Jonathan Livingston Seagull, then you'll be shunned from the group. But then a lot of people come back and they use what I have taught for their own by listening to what I have to say, but they use it in their books and they use it in their archives of their own shows or their own work. And, you know, that's a little aggravating now because it's taken out of my books. One of my books is called, you ready for this one? Rude Awakening. Remember when your parents used to say, you're in for a rude awakening? Well, that's one of my books. So, I have books, but I just don't flaunt them. Anyway, your law is truth, right? And you sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Right? Is your word truth? What's the cash value of your truth? Where do you get your truth? Is it somebody else's words or is it your own? When you're in a correspondence with someone and they're applying it and they're listening and they're accepting what you say, that's the truth. When they take your view and they're acknowledging it, that's the truth. When they're believing what you say and it's effective in that way, that's the truth. When it takes its effect, that's the truth. When it has a cause and effect, that's the truth. But you know what? Even a lie, L-I-E, is laying in its own truth bed. That's a truth. The concept of a truth is narrow in its restrictive view of a truth. In an initial statement, you're wanting the best result. You know, I wrote something one time. I about how I colored things slightly different or slightly a little bit prettier. It wasn't really a lie. It's just getting it out there a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, a little bit brighter. But I don't do that anymore because I don't have to, because I've centered myself with the truth within me. I'm getting up, so just bear with me because my hips are out. But think about this. If we center ourselves within our own self to let our own self be true, then we wouldn't have to listen and take other people's words and use them as our own. We would have our own words and our own identity and our own self-concepts. You could say, so-and-so told me this, or I got this from so-and-so. Wouldn't that be much easier than to have to hide around and make it like, I know I'm the one that started the knowing because that's what God told me. But I heard on the show or I heard somewhere not too long ago someone saying the knowing, someone saying my words, you know. And I'm just saying karma is a hard thing. Karma is a really hard thing. And I'm a trendsetter. Are you a trendsetter? Don't you want to be known as your own self? Don't you know that other people hear what I say and hear what I do? And then you come up, or you come up with almost the same words that I said, but yet it's simplified. You go down to a date and time where I said it first. It doesn't matter. I want my words out there as teachings. The thing is I don't want it as you claiming it to be yours. Claim it as whose it is, God's. God gave me those words. I channeled the Holy Spirit. You know? And another person, in another place, and another thing that I want to say is I miss my college buddies. They don't call in anymore. But they will someday. And I'm talking about Tim and Kendra and JD and hello out there. And all the grandmasters, thank you for listening to the show. And it was great having Wayne Lewis on last week. Just want to say hello to him and all that he stood for and represented as much as he's accomplished. Hope to have him back on the show to where he can tell a whole lot more about himself and what he's all about and how to be a grandmaster in your life and living. And the truth within me, there are no words to bring forth to comprehend for one to understand. There's not. Because it's within me. There's no words to comprehend this truth that I know. I can only say and feel it with every inch of my being and every breath and every beat of my heart. I awake to absorb more knowledge of this truth that is revealed to me each day. And if I try to explain this truth for one to understand and what I know is my truth to comprehend, one's way of understanding it will be their own way and not mine. Because then it'll become your stuff and not mine. Once you start speaking out what I have spoken, then it becomes your way because your tones and pitches of my voice have changed. It becomes your tones and pitches. And it's no longer my truth that I held as my own. The purity of the unblemished truth will no longer be what was meant for me. Within each of us, God has placed that truth, that very own purity of the unblemished truth inside of oneself, to feel it, to hear it, and to see it, to know it, to learn it, and to live by it. Each person has their own truth. You just have to tap into it and get it and learn it. Don't take other people's words and twist them around and make them your own, unless you're going to give them the credit. You have to sit quietly in the silence and patiently in solitude, reverently and humbled, and be willing to surrender to the utmost undescribable feelings, to the purest known, by listening with your heart and not your mind, the cleanest and the clearest, most purified truth ever known to a soul's existence, of one's spiritual knowledge of one's own, could ever hope for to comprehend and personally hold as their own. That is so, so purely true. Now I just want to ask you each to reach inside yourself and find your truth. Find it. Absorb it. And become it. Karma, karma, karma. Because I'm taking all my energy back. I'm tired of being zapped. You know what a vamp is? That's where you take other people and you vamp them of their energy. And I have been energy drained. Putting up my shield. I'm putting up my shield. And I'm not going to be drained anymore. I'm going to take back who I am. And I'm going to give out in dribbles. Because it's time. It is time. I am very tired and very exhausted with this hip problem I've got. And I'm tired of not getting what's rightfully mine. I give out so much freely and I get nothing back in return except for one thing. And that is to give out that much more. Now the reason I'm talking this way tonight, new listeners, is because if you know and you listen to my beginning archives of my shows, you will know where the beginning of all things come from. And that's where it comes from, my heart. So always listen with your heart. Always listen with your heart. Because that's the balance. That's who you are. We have to balance. We have to know that there's seven winds. For what lays in front of you? What lays behind you? What lays to the left of you? What lays to the right of you? What lays above you and what lays below you? But what lays within you? But the I am in me. There lies your truth. You can't hide from yourself. You never can. Quit looking on the outside of yourself and focus on the inside of yourself. That's all I'm asking. Focus on yourselves and not other people, places, and things. Focus on who you are. Ground yourself into yourself and get harmony within your own heart. Find your own identity. Be individualized. Speak to your own self and quit focusing on other people. If you focus on other people, you are not looking at what's really inside yourself and knowing who you are. We're only here for a short while. If you're here for a short while, don't you want to get to know yourself and have a relationship with yourself? That's what I have, a relationship with myself. But I see it out there spread all over the place, which is good. Just say the word bright. That's all you have to say. Bright. But the information of the key is very important. It'll be taken away from you as fast as it was given to you. You won't prosper from it. You only prosper from things that are rightly taken as your own, as if you give right ownership to where it came from. I'm telling you. It's like a harmonica. It's got to be tuned together and harmonized together. I'm telling you, I've learned this the hard way, and I'm giving this out freely. You have to play it so easily
but it's so simple. We make it hard. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What's your wake-up call? What is your wake-up call? If you had something that you had to fall back on, what would you fall back on? What have you? What is your idea? What makes you unique? What makes you stand on your own as who you are? What have you come up with as your own idea? And who gave it to you? Who gave you your idea? And who gave you your thoughts? What do you channel? Do you channel who? Who do you focus on? And where do you, what do you do? Do you mix it up with everybody else's everybody everything? Or do you mix it up with your own self? Where do you get your words? Why is everybody writing all these books all of a sudden? And how are they getting them? And why do they sound so much like what the Lord's channeled into me? Anyway, that's all I had to say about that. For I knew you before love was just a word. Before the word I love you became the word speaking into me. Let there be love words forever heard. And that's what God said to me. That's how much he loves me. So I had to make a choice in submitting these thoughts to you as well. And I'm just talking. I don't prepare for this. I was just talking to Bunny on the phone, and I just told her that's what I was going to talk about. And so, born into knowledge and wisdom, and seeking and knocking and understanding. But if you don't hurry up, you're going to hit the snooze and lose. Right? In essence, awakening is needing a nudge or two. So, from here, we're going to think of a couple of things. And when the student's ready, the teacher will appear, thus the teacher will become the student. Now, I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to ask you, if you had a way in me to go into the universe, what would you become? A ship? Do ships come in? Your ships come in. Do you see a ship? Do you see the horizon? Is the water choppy or is it smooth? Float along with me for a little bit. Let's take a couple of deep breaths and relax. Breathe in from the abdomen and out through the nose. Out through the mouth. Real smooth. Place a circle of light around you. Step into your circle. Take one hand and brush all the way up your right leg, all the way up your body, all the way up your left, right arm, all the way down your left arm, all the way down your left leg. Now bring both arms all the way around, all the way up your body, and tie it off like a lasso. As you tie it off like a lasso, I want you to twirl it around and around clockwise. Now I want you to take your hands and just throw
that energy off, out to the side, shake your hands, shake them hard, get all that energy off of you. Now, step outside that circle. Shake your body all over, loose like a noodle. Now you're a new identity. You're a new person. You're a new creation. You've got all that negative energy off of you. You've just brush-stroked all your chakras. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel your kneecaps. Make them bounce up and down. Do a pelvic tilt like a rocking chair. Bring your pelvis in and out, in and out, in and out. Now feel your stomach from your abdomen. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Now move on up and feel your heart beating. Beats with one with Mother Earth. Boom. Boom, boom. Boom. Boom, boom. Now feel your throat chakra. It's not so tight, is it? Because you can speak your truth. Now move on up. Feel your forehead to your third eye. It's opened up. It's not so mossy. You can see your vision quest. Adjust your rearview mirror so that you can see in your dreams that are your safekeeper. Now touch the top of your crown chakra. Little baby soft spot, the little baby soft spot. It's opened up to feel all the good energies. Now think of it as pulling up as a cord and pulling all the way down to your feet like a cord, with your heart being the center. Now pull really tight. One jolt. Now, there you are. Nobody has your chains anymore. Nobody has you as a puppet on a string, except for God. Every entity that you come into is a color-coded piece of energy. But the golden string is always attached to God. Now, remember to shield, always to shield, that nothing or no one can come into your energy field. Keep your shields up. Ephesians, always read Ephesians 3, 13 through 16. Keep your enemy far, far away. And bring in people, places, and things that are good and healthy for us. Remove people, places, and things that are not good and healthy for us. And always speak for us, do for us, think for us, be for us. And remember, only good energies to be in us at all times. Always remember who you are. And don't be other people's person. Just be who you are. Listen with your heart and not your mind. Your mind is man-made of people, places, and things along the way. And thank you for letting me share. And have a blessed, blessed week, rest of the week and weekend. I'm off the air. Bright Lights Pathfinders, over and out.